write these songs, but I still have to go back and learn them all over again every time I sing them. Produced a sinful and an adulterous generation, a stumbling block to all. And though many people esteemed him great, and they contributed to his praise, but the God above rejected him and laid him in a silent grave. Because of sin, death is reigned. As people esteemed the wrong, in offering praise to sinful men, God has rejected them all. In their struggle to make the wicked great, and for commercial strength, they've lifted up the reprobates and turned them into saints.
Drawing near to lose
Singing, but if I do a little better singing, then I can't preach. And if I can't preach, then I don't care to sing. So I just have to do the best I can with the two of them. All right, they've got one here. I think it's called I'm on the Rock. And I don't know how we'll do in singing it, but we'll try anyway.
This is dedicated to all those people for the last 2 nights that's been begging us to do it, and I keep telling Dale, and she kept ignoring me. I blame it on Dale.
One of the problems I have up here, we don't have any light back of us. We have all the light in the front of us. And, did they? They got that one over my head anyway. They can't put a light back of us because of the video. And when they put it in front of me, that makes it twice as bad. I didn't notice that one over my head. But maybe it'll help a little bit if we can hold it just right. Maybe we can take advantage of it like this.
Our organist is not here, and our pianist doesn't have a piano, so we're really having it rough with this music.
We will have a piano here if everything goes right. Just somebody's going to let us have one.
Praise the Lord.
Can you come over this way a little bit, Cindy? Yeah. Give her a chance to put the music stand up here, and this will help me out a little bit.
Huh?
Could we get Brother Lyman up here? How many of you are glad to be here tonight? Let me see your hands. I tell you, it's wonderful to have you come out tonight. I noticed that the weather broke today and the sunshine came out. And it made us feel like summertime had come again. For a little while, it looked like summertime had left real early. But I see that the sunshine came out, and that makes us feel a whole lot better. All right. Now, I don't have but one trouble with Brother Taylor. When he gets happy, he goes up and down, and then I go up and down trying to find my sheep. I kind of have to hold it to where I can hold him. All right. This is called the Solid Rock. What key are you playing in?
A.
Start off with you. I'm on the rock, I'm on the rock, and my name is on the road. I'm on the rock, I'm on the rock, since Jesus made me whole. He promised in his holy word, if I could have control, he planted my feet on the solid rock, writing my name on the road. Come and go along with me and join this caravan. Just plant your feet on the solid rock, get away from the sinking sand. Oh, this old world's gonna rock and roll in just a little while. You better frown on Satan while you can, so later you can
find. Hallelujah! I'm on the rock, yes, I'm on the rock, and my name is on the road. Hallelujah! I'm on the rock, yes, I'm on the rock, since Jesus made me whole. He promised in his holy word, if I kill him, he said he'd plant my feet on the solid rock.
the rock. There's only one solid rock, and that's Jesus. And I'm on that solid rock tonight. It's wonderful to be a Christian. You can't please everybody. How do you know you can't please everybody? Jesus couldn't please everybody. And that's the one thing we don't want to try to do, is to please everybody. If we please everybody, then we'll be lost. But if we please God, then we'll lose some of the people. But when it comes to those that Christ shed His blood for, He tells us in the Word, He said, I've not lost to one of them, Father. But everyone that You've given Me, I will raise him up in the last day. So He hasn't lost any of them. We only lose those that are predestinated or bound for the flames. And I'm glad I'm on the rock tonight. And we're not headed for the flames tonight. Jesus has already made that journey, and He passed right through there, and it didn't cause Him a bit of trouble. He made it all right. And He did it for me, and so then tonight I'm on the rock, the solid rock, Christ Jesus. And I tell you what, some glorious things is taking place. Now, I don't know what we'll get to say tonight, but I'd like to say a few things to you. And if I can share my enthusiasm with you in winning souls, then I would like to do it. If I could get my Bible, I'll read just a little bit of scripture here, and then we'll see if we can say something that might be of benefit to you. Now, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me over in the book of Daniel. I'm not a critic. I don't believe in criticizing anybody, but I believe in declaring the truth. Jesus said, I came into this world to bear witness of the truth. And that's what we're here tonight for, not to be critical, not to hurt anybody nor to injure anybody, but to bear witness of the truth. Now, it is a true fact that if I bear witness of the truth and the truth cuts across your conviction, then you'll have to change your conviction, because I can't change the truth. Isn't that right? God is the Spirit of truth, and I don't dare to mess with that, because the Bible said one word spoken against the Spirit of truth shall not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. Now, you know, you can say a lot of things, do a lot of things, have a lot of ambitions, be religious, go wherever you want to, as long as you leave the Spirit of truth alone and don't bother with it. You know, if you want to take the benefits of it, that's good, but otherwise, don't say anything against it. Don't find any fault against it. Just one word spoken against it, and your doom is sealed. Never again will you have the opportunity to even call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And so then I'm here tonight to bear witness of the truth, and I ask you for your undivided attention tonight while I talk to you. I don't want you to be tense. I want you to be relaxed. You know, the Bible teaches wherever the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. And I want you to be relaxed tonight. Just relax and listen and to pay attention to the Word. And I'll do my best to try to share with you just a little bit of what I understand about God. There's a whole lot to be said about God, but I'll do my best to share just a little bit of what I understand about God. Reading in the book of Daniel, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and the silver vessels and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wife and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the God of gold and of silver, and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and shew me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lord, came into the banquet house, And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and shewing of hard sentences and dissolving of thoughts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show thee the interpretation. All right. Now, while I was in Michigan a number of years ago, I ministered concerning the same thing over in Detroit, Michigan. It's been a long time since we spoke concerning this, but I thought tonight that there might be some thoughts along the same line that I spoke of there, and that we might bring out something that might be of interest to you. I believe that you'll agree that we're living in a crucial hour. We're living in a time such as man has never known. Never since the foundation of the world has man ever known a time like the day that we're living in. People are so mixed up and people are so touching. You can just say the wrong thing and you'll lose part of your congregation. You've got to be ever so careful about everything you say. And if you don't do it just exactly the way the people think it ought to be done, they'll just up and leave. Isn't that right? But you know, we ought to be careful about getting up and going out of the house of God. How do you know that? You know, God added 15 years to a man's life because he took time to give God a little bit of his time. Now, and God can take 15 years off of our life if we're not careful, if we take a little time away from God. Isn't that right? So then we need to be careful. There's people that are still living today that, according to medical science, should be dead and in the grave, but they trusted God and gave a little more time to God, and God added a few years to their life. There's other people that are in the grave tonight that should be living today, that could have been living today, but they didn't regard the God of heaven, and they did the way Belshazzar did, and in doing so, God took them away and laid them, as I said in the song, in a silent grave. The Bible tells us that if we reject God and we get riches deceitfully, we'll be cut off in the midst of our days, and in the end we shall be a fool. Isn't that right? And so then it behooves us to behave ourselves right in the house of God. Paul tells us in one place that we should enter into the house of God with thanksgiving and praise, come into His courts, giving praise to God, having a heart of praise and a heart of a thankfulness toward God. And he tells us how we should behave ourselves in the house of the living God, which is the ground and the pillar of the truth. And that's why I'm here tonight, is to bear witness of the truth. Hallelujah. You love Jesus tonight? All right. So that it's my privilege tonight to lift up my voice in your midst and tell you about the glory of God. I've been doing this for many years, and we've did it all over the United States and into the foreign countries, and I still feel the same tug from heaven. I still feel the same thrill that I felt years ago as I lifted up my voice to tell about Jesus. Hallelujah. So it's wonderful tonight to be here and to be able to testify for the Lord Jesus. Going way back in the Old Testament, you recall a time when the people got together, such as they are doing today, and they decided that they were going to build them a tower to heaven. They decided that their name was going to perish unless they could build them a tower, unless they could get together as a great unit. They were so afraid that they were just going to perish from the face of the earth. They'd look back at the flood that took away all the people, and it would scare them when they would think about man becoming extinct. And they thought it was just such a narrow escape that Noah escaped the great flood and that man continued on. And they reason like scientists reasons today. You know that they just barely escaped becoming extinct. And so they decided that they were going to build the Tower of Babel. It was way back in the days of Nimrod. And it was way back there at the Tower of Babel that the Babylonian system got started that has enveloped the world of today.
How many of you know that the Babylonian system started way back in the days of Nimrod, and that system has continued on down to today? It took over, but it wasn't supposed to take over. It didn't deserve the right to the kingdom, because according to the Bible, Belshazzar hung a little thing around Daniel's neck and said, "You'll be the third ruler in the kingdom." But Daniel never did come to the kingdom, did he? They never did give him his rights, did they? But there was another kingdom that came in. A Babylonian kingdom came in. But I want you to know that God hasn't forgotten what Belshazzar said to Daniel. Hallelujah. There is a kingdom for the saints of God that must come into this world. Hallelujah. So then the Tower of Babel begun. It had its beginning. It got off to a start. And they set up what they call the Babylonian order. And they had their pontiff, and they set up the priest. And they had a system where the people had to come together there with the priest and make their confessions. And the people would come around and they'd confess their sins. It's the same old thing that they do today. They go around to the preachers, you know, and they confess their sins. But instead of finding salvation, all the preacher does is take their secret faults and use it to blackmail them with so that they can get another dollar out of them. Somebody say amen. I said all the preacher does is use it for a little blackmail and holds it over their head while he robs them of the substance of the God. It's the same old Babylonian order that's always been. Amen. That's how it existed. The same old blackmail system. They set up their pontiff, and they had everything going real good. But one day, there came in the Medo-Persian kingdom. Later on, as it came down, the Assyria kingdom came in. You remember how the 10 tribes was lost over in Assyria? Following the Assyria kingdom, there came in another kingdom, a great Babylonian kingdom. And then following that kingdom, there came in another great kingdom, the Medo-Persian kingdom. See, Ephesus, Smyrna, and then Pergamos. It's called the seat of Satan. See, it came on down all the way from the Tower of Babel. It came out of fear. It was something that arose out of fear. Satan got a hand in it because of fear. People were afraid they were going to become extinct. That's the same kind of spirit that's in the world today. The same spirit has moved over the land. The people are afraid today. They're afraid that something's going to happen. And they say, let us all come together. Let us all have a world peace. It doesn't matter what Russia believes. It doesn't matter what Germany believes. It doesn't matter what America believes. The thing is, we must have a world peace. But let me tell you something. There's only one way to have world peace. The Bible teaches there's no peace to the wicked. I don't care what kind of peace treaties they come up with. I don't care how many nations sign their peace pact. Brothers and sisters, there's going to be no peace until the Prince of Peace has the ruling power and authority in this world. We're going to have to give way to the ruling powers and authorities of this world. We're going to have to get out of what I refer to as a religious rut and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Get out of the religious rut of today and come to the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do. We don't need a world pack of peace. You say, Brother Pike, are you against having peace? I'm for peace. I'm a prince of peace. That's why I'm sitting down here to make peace. The Bible said the children of God make peace. But how can the wicked make peace when they don't even know the Prince of Peace? You understand what I'm saying? How do you know Jesus is the Prince of Peace? Hallelujah. How do you know that we're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh? Hallelujah. And so then we're in the world to bear witness of peace, to try to bring peace to all mankind. Blessed is the peacemaker, for he shall be called the children of God. Is that right? Now, they can sign their peace pacts and they can come together and they can do whatever they want to do. But I want to tell you one thing, there will be no peace. The Bible said when they cry peace, sudden destruction shall come upon them as a woman in travail. They can do all they want to and they can publish their papers and say at last we've got peace. But folks, I'm telling you tonight, there's not going to be any peace until Jesus gets His rightful place on the throne. When we give way to God and let the Spirit of peace come in, then we're going to have peace. Is that right? But until we give way to God, we're never going to have peace. Ever since the time of Solomon, when the kingdom was split up back there about 975 B.C., ever since that time, there's been nothing but trouble. Israel went into trouble. About 721, we see the 10 tribes going into Assyria. Trouble. 606, Judah goes down into the same condition, and Babylonian captivity begins to set in. Back 536, we finally see the hand of God coming down there. And we see the prayers of Daniel being answered. As Daniel is praying, travail, and fasted before God, we finally see the hand of God begin to intervene. And finally, they're lifted back up out of the condition that they've been in for the last 70 years. That's where the world is today. They're back in Babylon again. They've gone back in Babylon. You know, I used to think I knowed a little something about the law. I knowed enough about the law that I could kind of get around. But you don't know nothing about the law anymore. They pass laws whenever they get ready. They change the Constitution whenever they get ready. They make amendments to the Constitution whenever they take a notion. In the days of Roosevelt, when Roosevelt decided to do that and the people rose up against him, Roosevelt had to back off of it. But Jimmy Carter didn't back off of it, did he? Did he do it? I tell you, we need to stand for something. We need to have a backbone. Stop letting anybody do us anyway. Hallelujah. Now then, Israel is upset with us. Certain parts of the nations are upset with us. And they feel like our president is a wishy-washy here and there and everywhere sort of a fella. They've expressed their opinions about it. What is it? We need to stop depending on a president. We need to stop depending on governors. We need to stop depending on money men and realize we are God's creation and God has this thing in his hand. And that we need to do something for Christ and call on the name of Jesus. And God will straighten the situation out. But until we do that, we'll never be able to have peace. There'll be no peace. In the days of the dividing of the monarchy, way back in the B.C.s, Rehoboam took about 10 tribes away from the authority of Judah, away from Rehoboam. And Rehoboam held to two of them. And there the kingdom was divided. It has been divided ever since. We've never from that time until this day had a united kingdom anymore. It's been divided ever since. There's been nothing but trouble ever since that time. But folks, it's time for the Lord Jesus to come. We sang that song last night, Arose. It's time for Jesus to come. And I tell you, it's time for Jesus to come. It's time that we took on the boldness of the Lord Jesus Christ and realized that we're sons of God. Oh, I like to talk about the sons of God, don't you? I'm a son of God tonight. I've been born to the Spirit tonight. I'm a son of the living God tonight. I'm glad that I've been born to the Spirit. I'm not of this world, hallelujah. God's chosen me out of this world and hid me with Christ in God whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. I'm hid with God tonight. I'm not of this world. He's chosen me out of this world. I'm a son of God tonight. Hallelujah. I don't have to listen to the things of this world. We're down here amid the brute beast of this world, but we're not one of them. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. When you breed cattle to cattle, you get cattle. Isn't that right? And a dog produces dogs, and a cat produces cats, and a god produces gods. I'm born to the Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. I've been produced by God tonight. I'm born to the Spirit tonight. And I'm a son of God tonight. And I'm a God tonight by the Spirit of the living God. You say, Brother Pike, do you really believe you're a God tonight? The Bible said, I'm a God tonight. Jesus said, I've called you gods, but you shall die like men. Isn't it right? In the Scriptures it is written, I've called ye gods. Wanted to stone Jesus over there. Wanted to put him to death. And Jesus said, what have I done? I've healed the sick. I've cleansed the leper. I've raised the dead. Said, what have you got against me? Said, we like all of that, but. Said, well, what have I done? Said, you being a man, said, you make yourself equal to God. The writer over that got a revelation and said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, make yourselves equal with God. Come on now. said he thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. Is that right? A God begets gods, and I'm the God of God tonight. Hallelujah. And I'm born to the Spirit tonight. I'm a son of God tonight. And folks, that makes a world of difference. Hallelujah. That makes a world of difference. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about something tonight that's heavenly. The Bible said, let your conversation be in heaven, and I'm talking about heavenly things tonight. Old Nicodemus said, look here. He said, you better explain something to me. He said, art thou a master of Israel, and you still need to go to school? You mean you're already a master of Israel, and you've never been schooled in what I'm preaching? Is that right? He said, I'm a master of Israel, but I don't know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. Jesus confounded him and he said, no man has ever ascended into heaven. He said, except the Son of Man that came down from heaven. He said, the Son of Man, Nicodemus, which is still in heaven. Old Nicodemus was really confused then. Amen. There he said, now I'm looking at you and you say you've been into heaven. You said you come down from heaven and here you stand talking to me and you say you're still in heaven. And he was really confused. Hallelujah. But there's something that we need to know tonight. You think, what is it, Brother Pye? The mystery of godliness tonight. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. I'm made a steward tonight of the mysteries of God. Hallelujah. It's going to take something to rapture the church tonight. How do you know that? It's going to take something to rapture the church tonight. Now the Bible said the gospel to be preached to every creature. But when it comes to the mysteries, Jesus' disciples said, Lord, said, why do you keep talking to them people in parables? Said, they don't understand what you're saying. He said, it's not given to them to know, but said, it's given to you to know. Old Brother Paul said, it's out of season in my day, but said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, there's coming a time when the mystery won't be outdated. There'll come a time when it won't be out of season. There'll come a time when somebody will tell you what it means. But you can't tell nobody if you don't know, can you? I'm glad I know tonight. I'm glad I know tonight. God saved something back for the church. That's what he did. See, just preaching the simple gospel isn't going to rapture the church. That isn't going to rapture the church. Preaching the gospel is so that God in the day of judgment will be just when all the world stands before him. And nobody can look and say, I didn't know what to do. But see, when it comes to the mysteries of godliness, God saved that back just for the church. Said it's not given to them to know. Oh, somebody said, but we're so smart, we've already found it out. But my Bible tells me that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of mankind at any time the things God has prepared for the church, them that love him. But he's made a revelation such as will unto babes such as will learn. And he's revealed it unto us by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Now that's the gospel right there. You know, he said it is abundantly and above all that I'm able to ask. Hallelujah. All that I'm able to think. You college professors can't get it. I was talking to a college professor somewhere here in the Carolinas a few years ago, and I got to talking about the mysteries of God, and he said, I'll tell you, said, I'm a college teacher. I'm teaching the students in college, but said, I never heard of what you're talking about. He said, this undoubtedly must be God. He said, I can't understand it. You love Jesus? Said, every knee in heaven and earth would bow. Every tongue would confess. Everything in the heavens, everything in the earth, and everything down beneath the earth. Did he say that? Then I'll do mine now, won't you? Hallelujah. I'll take my bow now. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. How do you know it? Somebody said, the King is dead. The King is dead. But mine's resurrected. I'm not talking about a dead king, but a resurrected Christ. Hallelujah. That's what I missed tonight. I'm talking about somebody that loves you, that loves me tonight. We're sons of God tonight. Sons of the living God. You say, well, why get excited? Why not get excited? Why, you're looking at a son of God. And you tell me I'm not going to get excited about that. Amen. Say, well, I'm not excited. Well, that's because. I'll let you figure the rest of it out. But I know tonight I'm a son of God. I'm born to the Spirit. And God's Spirit beareth witness with my spirit tonight that I am a son of God. I'm alive from the dead tonight to never die. Hallelujah, because he died for me. He died for me. Hallelujah. But the old Babylonian captivity, the old Babylonian system, is still got them out there. Isn't that right? They went on with that Babylonian system. They brought it right over into Rome. 325 A.D., they changed the mode of baptism. Got all mixed up on that. All the apostles was dead about 96 A.D. Old brother John went out and that was the end of it. Everything was closed as a book. The dark age set in. From about 606 to 1520, that dark age, that Thyatira age, it set in there, and Jezebel, she was on her way again. Isn't that right? That age of darkness swept in and she was on her way again, calling herself a prophetess. The Bible says she called herself a prophetess. Come on now. I said the Bible says she called herself a prophetess. You know, I believe that must be one of the reasons that God let the New Testament be wrote the way it was. Did you know that in the Old Testament God had some prophets? But did you know in the New Testament He don't mention anything about having any prophets? He mentions about His prophets over there. Isn't that right? In the fivefold ministry He talks about the prophets. Why? Because I believe one of the reasons was He wanted to put Jezebel out of order. He wanted her to know that he could get by without prophets. He had prophets in the body. Hallelujah. And so then God began to put His finger on Jezebel. That thing continued on. Trouble went on. It came on over unto this day. It came on over till this day. Something is taking place. About 364, that kingdom split up. Part of it went one way, part of it went another way. Part of it become what we call the Eastern Orthodox Church in the East. Part of it become the Western Papal Church. Now, when you think about it, you know what that means? If the part become Western Papal, that means that you are in the Western part of the world. That means the papal system that is in effect today that you deny, it has control of you and your church order today. It's the same old mother harlot, her same daughters, her same evil system that has bore influence over the world for today. Is that right? About 1520, there came a dawning. And there came a new light in the Sardis age. And Martin Luther stepped out about 1517, took his 95 theses on the Wittenberg door of Germany. He nailed them up and he started a revolt. He started what we call a Protestant age. He protested against their religion. And he made a good testimony and he stood, fought a good fight. And things began to take a change. And it continued to take a change coming on down to our day. But that man that had enough boldness to stand up for you, he stood up for you, but you don't have enough boldness to stand up for him. You don't have enough boldness to stand for what he stood up for you for. Jesus had enough boldness to go to the cross and die. Enough perseverance and self-denial. But you don't have enough self-denial to stand up for what God stood up for you for. Martin Luther stood up against that system. Old brother Abraham Lincoln said, if you know what I know, if you only knew what I know about that system, he said you wouldn't have any part of it in America. And back in that time, Abe Lincoln wouldn't have any part of it. Finally, one of them clipped him. William Booth finally got him. Because he stood up against the evils of this world. Every man that's ever stood up against the evils of this world, sooner or later they get him. The Bible said the world loveth its own, but brethren, we are not of this world. And the world doesn't love us because we're not of this world. We testify of this world that their deeds are evil. We bear witness of the light. We bear witness of the truth. And they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So then, the old Babylonian system still in full swing. If this is the papal church here in America that sprang off over there in that day, then that means that you're still caught in the same old web that they've always been caught in. You say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that we are. Well, tell me one thing. If you're not, why are they doing the same thing? It's always been the paganistic activities of that church to sell and to buy and to get gain. It's always been their way to take over the government that they might bleed the people to death through taxes and everything else. Come on now. You say, don't you believe in paying taxes? I'll tell you something. If people pool their money together to put in some good highways, I think that's good. If they pool their money together to do something for the benefit of the people as a whole, perhaps some that's not able to do nothing for themselves, I think that's good. But, brother, when they tax us and while men get out and run around like a bunch of reprobates and play golf and do everything else and we put them on the payroll and pay them to do that foolishness, I'm not for it. I'm not for it. I got better things to do with the dollars that God gives me than to do that. When our own president of the White House stands up and takes communists into their little system up there and they make a brotherhood with death and with evil, I'm ready to pull out from the brotherhood. I can see that same Babylonian captivity, that same Babylonian priesthood. Jimmy Carter's just as religious as he can be and don't know nothing about God. I might lose my congregation now. I said he's just as religious as he can be and don't know nothing about God. Amen. I appreciate Pat Boone's stand. He was bold enough to make a statement that Jimmy Carter wasn't right with God. The papers carried it. I believe it. Amen. I think he was pinch hitting for Ronald Reagan's. But anyway, I'm not. I'm pinch hitting for Jesus tonight. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. I don't have any motives tonight except Jesus. So then, he's very religious. Now, he made the statement, he said, I'd rather commit political suicide than to come against Israel. But doesn't the Bible tell us that Antichrist will come in with flattery and that he'll say, I will confirm the covenant, and he'll try to do it for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will break that covenant. Isn't that right? What is it? It's a flattery system. The old Antichrist system coming in, it's a flattery system. Look at the Babylonian system. Go way back there in the days of Daniel when God gave him the vision. Look at the plains of Dura. Back in the plains of Dura when they lifted up that great image back there. Made everybody worship it. What happened? It came right on down. That image was seen. That image was seen. That great head of gold. That great chest of silver. That great body around here of brass. And those iron legs to where they split up into those two churches that we spoke of. And then the last part of it is down here when the iron and the clay tries to mix together. I said the other night, we're living in the days of the 10 toes. It's the days of the 10 toes. You say, how do you know that it's the days of the 10 toes? Because communist it represents clay and capitalism represents iron. Capitalism is nothing but the paganistic Church of Rome that's carried over. That's all it is. You say, don't you believe in capitalism? No. You believe in communism? No. What do you believe in? Christianity. What do you believe in? That's where I put my faith. I can't put two or three things in there. I just believe in one thing. That's Christ. Hallelujah. I believe he's resurrected from the dead. So then the iron and the clay is trying to mix. Don't you know communists have no respect for us? How do you know that communists don't respect us? They're cruel killers. You don't understand what's happened, folks. Speaking like I'm speaking tonight, since communism has got into the White House, got a representative up there, and the communist flag is flying, and now they're part of the UN, do you realize that they could get me for treason now? Preaching like I'm preaching now, did you know that they could come down here and close me out and get me for treason? Why? Because communists is a part of the UN now. It's a part of the world order now. That would automatically make me in violation of their system. And they could come down here and close me out. And they could do the same thing to every one of you because you're standing here listening at me. Things is serious. Did you know that? I made a statement last night. If a person can show me one country, show me one government, show me one place where communists was ever exalted, lifted up, or put in, that there wasn't blood spilt in the streets and there wasn't heartaches and sorrows, then I'll change my opinion of communism. I'll do like Billy Graham. When Billy Graham got upset, I'll change my opinion of communism. I want you to know I haven't changed my opinion of communism. Communist is ruthless. It means death. And I haven't changed my ideas about it. The same thing. I talked to a Russian Jew, and he made the statement. He said, "Brother Pike, I want to tell you some things." He told me how that he was a hopeless cripple, how that God worked a great miracle. And he said, "Brother Pike," he said, "my daddy was one of the richest men among millions of people in Russia." He said, "We had as much as 11 acres just for a flower garden." And he told how that he was converted to Christ through the efforts of some Assembly of God missionaries that he found in the flower garden eating flowers because they were starving to death. The mother brought him in. They was converted to God. And he told how that God miraculously healed him. He said, "I was a cripple. I was a hopeless cripple, and my daddy was exceedingly rich." And said, "My daddy tried to get any doctor in Russia, the greatest, most expensive surgeons, to do something for me, and they said it's hopeless." He said, "And as a hopeless cripple, I'd slide around on the great big marble floor, or whatever it was there in the mansion." And he said, "I can remember a lot of times I'd slide over to the big doors, and I'd hear my dad and communists behind closed doors, and how the plots and everything was going on, how that my dad had to submit to them to keep him from taking his life." And said one night, he slid over on the floor, got up near them big doors, and said he heard it and it just broke his heart. He said it tore him up so much he slid back across the floor, made his way up to his room and got there, and said he was so tore up and broken up he didn't know what to do. And while he was calling on the name of Jesus, said the power of the living God came down. And said the power of God popped them limbs and straightened them limbs up, and said he stood on his feet, "Hold!" Said the power of God came to that room. And he stood upright, and he was whole. So shocked and amazed, he said he stood there, didn't know what to do, and said it wasn't but a little while that his dad come up to his room and opened the door, and said when his dad saw it, it was just too much for him. Said he denied communism, he denied everything, and said, "From this time on, I'm giving my heart to God. I don't care what communist does to me, then I'm going to serve the God that healed a crippled boy like you." And he said, "Brother Pike," he said, "I saw this." He said, "Communists took over in Russia." He said, "All of a sudden the radios begin to ring out that communists is in rule." Isn't that the same thing that's happened to America? All of a sudden, the flag goes up in Washington. We've been taught for years how ruthless they are. We've been taught to fight against it. Men like Billy James Hargis and others have spent millions of dollars fighting communism and trying to expose it. Millions of your dollars. But now they fly the flag in Washington. They lift it up in Washington. Now they've got a representative to the UN. And the first thing the representative did was begin to accuse our representatives. You love Jesus? Things is farther along than you think they are. He said, "Brother Pike," said, "the radios ring out with a terrorist." And he said, "By night, thousands upon thousands of people have been killed." He said, "I saw this with my eyes." He said, "I saw them take little babies out of the arms of mothers, take them away from the mothers and the mothers screaming. I saw them bring back a platter full of heads where they beheaded those children, trying to force those people to surrender to communism." He said, "I saw it." He said, "They were so ruthless." He said, "They lined up men and they put holes in their hands and linked them together like a chain." He said, "They dug a ditch and lined the men up along the ditch and pushed them off into the ditch and covered them up to their heads here." Said, "And then the ruthless Caesars, the horsemen of Russia, said they came along and trampled those men's brains out with the horses." He never knew man's tongue was long enough to pull out a nail to the floor. Said, but he saw communists do it and saw men strangled to death on their own blood. The Bible said the unruly tongue shall be rooted out. You love the Lord. I'm going to let this old tongue of mine go on and do something for God, ain't you? I'm reminded of the man where they cut his fingers off because he wrote for God. They cut his toes off. They'd done everything they could, and because he talked for God, they cut his tongue off. And they said the last thing he was doing, he was going, la, 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 la. Still thinking about Jesus, hallelujah. Still telling the best he could about the love of God. You know, you can mutilate this old body, but you can't do nothing to that Holy Ghost. You can't stop that Holy Ghost on the inside. Took one man, they put him over there at the stake. When they got him at the stake and they was going to burn him back there through the dark age, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, when I begin to feel the flames, that I'll let my hand down. He said, I'm going to hold my hand up. When I feel the flames, that I'll let my hand down. Said he never did let it down until he passed on. Jesus protected him. Said when them women was to be burned to death over there and fed to the lions, they say it's absolutely a historic fact that the women came out in the finest apparel that they had. And said the men were so shook up, they said, what's the matter with you? Said, don't you know that you're going to be killed today? They said, we're going to die for Jesus and we're going to look our best. Hallelujah. We're going to look our best for Jesus. Hallelujah. Old Polycarp, they took him and stood him up there in the flames. And they said, Polycarp, said, you're a nice fella. Said, I don't see why you want to line up with these bunch of holy rollers, so to speak. Said, I know that you're a nice fella. You've not done anything wrong. And said, we hate to do anything to you. But said, you're going to have to deny this Jesus Christ. He said, I once was young and now I'm old. Said, he's never done me any harm. All my years. Said, why should I deny him now? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'm talking about serious times. The Bible speaks of perilous times. It tells us to pray always that we might be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this earth. Folks, there's some things coming on this earth. I know that the church has rocked us to sleep with that little thought about we're going to be raptured away. We're not going to be hurt. We're not going to go through any sorrow. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this earth. There must be some horrible things coming on this earth. Are you praying? I believe the Bible, don't you? I'm a believer. I'm a believer. When the Bible said something, I believe it. I'm a believer. I'm praying. I want to escape them things. I want to help everybody else escape them that I can. All right. So, he made the statement to me. He said, Brother Pike, they took everything my dad had. He said, they stripped me of my vesture. They took me in zero weather. Cold weather. He said, and they run ice water over my body. Said, and I saw my dad and I saw my mother. They had cut their toes and fingers off. And said, they lined my dad and mother up. And he said, I heard my dad say this. He said, just before the machine gun roared, I heard him say, Johnny boy, remember Jesus. And the big guns roared and he said, they fell. But he said, I remember Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I remember Jesus. Hallelujah. I've got a gentleman sitting here in the audience. He went over there and he fought for this country. He saw men spill the blood. And he came to me when they hoisted the flag and he said, this is confusing. He said, why did we go there and spill blood to keep that out of America? And now they tell us it's all right. You know what it is? Wanting to be ruler. I made the statement, I said, the government will change. I said, now just watch. I said, it'll switch over from Washington. And I said, it'll switch over to Atlanta, Georgia. And somebody, as the little boy said, thought I'd done lost all the marbles I ever had, if I ever had any. But I said, it'll happen. I said, and it'll grow strong with the black people. I said, watch and see if it happens. It wasn't long after that, and to the utter amazement of the people all over the nation and the different parts of the world, just outside of Atlanta, Georgia, to head up in Atlanta, Georgia, because it's the big city, Jimmy Carter sprang up. And nobody could figure out how he done it. But did you notice that he comes from the plains of Dura? Talking about the image now. Did you know they're talking about building an image to Elvis Presley that's over $200,000, almost $300,000? Did you know that Jim is interested enough in Elvis Presley and interested enough in Graceland down there that he's making a national shrine out of it? Don't any of those things fit together with you? There's something that's taking place. Now, what is it? The foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. Look close. Listen good. The Lord reveals it unto babes, such as will learn. The foolish things to confound the professors, so that we can understand it abundantly above all we're able to ask. What is it? Jimmy is trying his best to please everybody. Isn't that right? Coming in with flattery. The Bible said that system would come in with flattery. He has flattered everybody right down to the playboys of this world. He promised this society this, and he promised this society that, and he promised the black folks such and such, and even right now the black folks is all tore up, and they're upset at him right now because he's not kept his promise to them. And he just recently made the statement to just wait a little bit longer. What is it? We're at the closing hours of the age, the days of the 10 toes. Not too long ago, Betty and I were sitting on Congress in Washington, and I sat there and I watched the senators, and I watched our congressmen, and just carried on a bunch of foolishness. And they're supposed to be running our affairs. And while we were over in Belgium, while we was over in the foreign country, we went over to that great big thing they call the beast. Now, does it sound coincidental to you that those 10 nations that's represented, they're represented over in that one particular place? But doesn't it sound coincidental that in that one particular place is the machine they call the beast? Because the beast had 10 horns. Why did those nations head up in that place? Why didn't they pick another place? Because God has His way in the good and the evil. Why is it that Jimmy Carter made a trip over to Africa? We've never had a president that ever done that before. It signifies that the government has gone into darkness. That the great American government is finished and over, and it's gone into darkness. The Bible said gross darkness shall cover the people. And that's what's happened. The gross darkness is covering the people. Our government has gone into total darkness. But the Bible also said at the end time, it shall come to pass, there shall be light. The great light is springing up to the people. In the days of the 10 kings, in the days of the 10 toes, in the days of the finishing of the image, there was a little stone that was shoot out of the mountain that came rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world. And I'm glad that that little stone is being hewed out. And the Bible said it was hewed out without hands. It didn't come out of the college. It didn't come out of the denomination. It didn't come out of some worldly system. The Bible said it came out of the mountain of God. It was hewed out without hands. And it came rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of this world. And it smote that image in its feet. It hit those 10 kings. It stood up. That great, mighty stone of God. And the Bible said it grew till it filled all of the earth. All of the earth. It continued to grow till it filled all of the earth. Hallelujah. This is a growing stone I'm talking about. You ever seen a growing stone? This is a stone that grows. Hallelujah. And it grew till it filled all of the earth. When was it? The days of the 10 toes. What time are we living in now? It's the days of the 10 toes. That's why communists is coming in like they are. Something's taking place, folks. What is it? The paganistic rites. Look how the Babylonian order brought it in. 381, they started to worship in the Virgin Mary. They set it in motion. Why did they do that? The Bible don't teach that. It doesn't teach us to worship the Virgin Mary. It teaches us to worship Jesus. Is that right? 519 AD, what did they do? They brought an Eastern lint. And then they put that in there too. That was still to be part of the worship. And then they got the people to count beads. That's not Bible. And then it wasn't long before they hung the cross around their neck. Is that right? What is it? It's a paganistic way of life. We're not worshiping the cross of Calvary. Why is it God put a cross around their neck? Because it's a yoke. God's going to kill them with Calvary. What he did to the Lord Jesus Christ was a typical thing of what he's going to do to the brute beast of this world. The Bible said there's brute beasts made to be taken and burned. And Calvary's that big brazen altar of the evening time that they used to offer up the beast on. Amen. Something's happening. You believe in Jesus? I wish we had about 3 more months to preach here. I'm going to say just a little bit more here and I'm going to close. See, there's something happening. Here we are now, right here at the closing of the age. It's evening time and the great light of God is beginning to spring up. How many of you understand that God's got some people in this world that are lights? The Bible said, so let your light shine that men might see your good works. I'm talking about people with good works, not church members. A lot of church members. But the Bible said we are predestinated unto good works. I'm talking about people that's got good works that the world can see. Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lights that are coming together. Lights that are coming together. I wish we had time tonight to bring out a little bit on the light and the sun of the morning. The lights coming together, folks. Why must we come together? Because darkness is coming together. The great powers of darkness are uniting. How many of you tonight believe in communism? Everybody that believes in communism, raise your hand tonight. Everybody that believes in Christ, raise your hand tonight. Amen. That's the same way it happened. Back there in Russia, this Jew told me, he said, Brother Pike, he said, I saw them line the people up. I saw him place a picture of Stalin over here on one place. I saw him place a picture of Jesus Christ on the other side. I saw him set the pots of hot boiling oil that would take the flesh off the bones. He said, I saw him put a gangplank, and I saw them tell the people that everybody, that when you go by those pictures, that will turn and acknowledge Stalin, said, we will set you free. He said, Brother Pike, he told how many thousands it was. He said, this is the truth. He said, every person that walked that gangplank, they'd take one look at the picture of Stalin and they'd turn to Jesus Christ and said in a unity, they sang, I believe that Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than the snow. He said, and thousands of them went into the boiling oil and the flesh came off of the bones, singing, I believe Jesus saves and his blood washes white as the snow. And he said, I never saw one individual deny Christ out of it. Not one. You love Jesus? Somebody said, I don't believe I can stand it. You know, they did. I'll tell you what, when you love Jesus, this Jesus I'm talking about, brother, ain't. I better not say that. I'll tell you one thing. If you love Christ the way that I love him, it'll do something to you. And I believe there's some people that love him here the way that I love him. I don't believe they'd be out here tonight if they didn't love him the way that I love him. All right, now there's a lot of things I'd say to you tonight, but I know that I'm going to have to stop somewhere, and I'm just getting started. I know I'm going to have to stop somewhere. Now, let me say this tonight to you. That great image, the plains of Dura. Now, you watch what I'm telling you. You can do what you want to. I'm not speaking against Jimmy Carter. I'm not speaking against dignitaries. The Bible teaches that we're not doing that. I'm bearing witness of the truth. I made the statement. I said, when that government comes out of Atlanta, Georgia, it will seek to rule the world. And ever since Jimmy has been in office, his one stride has been to rule the world. He even got rid of Kissinger to make sure that there wasn't anybody else in his way, that he'd be the number one man. But he's run against the snag He don't know what to do with neighbor's vineyard. He's run against a snag like Jezebel did in the days of Elijah. They had everybody bowed down to him, but they couldn't get that little vineyard of Naboth. Those Jews won't yield up their vineyard. You believe that? They'll die before they'll do it. They're not going to yield it up. It's their inheritance from their fathers, and they're not going to give it up. Those Jews, when that king said, "We'll put you in the fiery furnace," if you don't bow down to that image, what did they see? What did they say? What did they do? They stood up. Why did they stand up for Christ? Because they were Jews. Jews are not going to bow to the image. They were Jews. They said no. We're not careful to answer you, King, said we'll tell you right straight no. We're not going to bow down to the image. All that image is coming together now. That old Babylonian head of gold, now watch and see if I'm telling you right. That old Babylonian head of gold, they're raising it up. You know America's standard's been gold. That old Babylonian head of gold, they're lifting it up. Jim is wanting to be the head to the thing. Every one of those fallen nations are coming together. America's one of them. And they're all lifting themselves up. And they're all coming together. Why are they doing it? Because it's the end of the world. People that are playing religion, 10 evangelists, radio evangelists, television evangelists, playing a game. Instead of getting down to business with God and leading the people into holiness and into the things of Christ, they're trying to get money, have world renown, trying to do some great thing to be some great figure. Instead of getting God's people together and being sober and realize that the end of the world is here upon us. You understand what I'm saying? That old Babylonian system, it's headed up. That golden head. Everything's coming together, standing on its feet. But the Bible said that that stone struck it in its feet, struck it in the end of the thing, down toward the last part of the kingdom. Struck it. You know, the Bible said that God will put it in the hearts of these kings to give their kingdom to the kingdom of the beast. That's the 10 horns. Is that right? These kings will give their kingdom to the beast, but the Bible said they hate the beast. And they'll burn his flesh with fire. Even they are divided. There's no peace among them. They're divided one against another. But after a while, that little stone's going to do away with all of it. You know what I see out of that? The Bible said Satan would wear out the saints of God, and then the saints of God would rise and take the kingdom. How do you know that Jesus is that little stone that was hewn out of the mountain? How do you know that we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? How do you know that the body of Jesus Christ is that little stone tonight? That this is the kingdom of God that's growing up, that's going to fill all the earth? And it's going to smite those 10 kingdoms? The Bible said though Satan will wear the saints of God out, they'll rise up and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. You say, Brother Pike, do you really believe we can do that? I believe that we can do that. I wish we had time tonight to explain to you just how close we are to doing that. Where is the kingdom? In our heart. In our heart. The law and the prophets till John, the kingdom has been preached ever since then. Satan's tried to wear us out, but we've got that kingdom. We're going to possess that kingdom. The world has taken it. And the Bible said they took it by force. Intellectually, colleges, all those kind of things. System, governments. They took the religious side of it. But we're going to take the thing back. True and undefiled religion. Before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction. Keep yourselves unspotted from the world. I'm talking about holiness, folks. You love Jesus? Let's stand together. Living in a crucial hour, a crucial time. The kingdom, the Bible tells us in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, John saw the woman with the feet on the moon. We can't go into that tonight, but maybe we will one night. And he heard a voice that said, the kingdoms of this world
have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. The accuser of our brethren has been cast out that accused them day and night. Now has come power. Now has come strength. Now has come the kingdom of our Christ. Are you really a son of God tonight? Are you really born of the Holy Spirit tonight? Listen at me as I plead with you for just a few minutes. Joining a church will not bring you eternal life. Having been dedicated as a bishop, as a deacon, as a layman, all of your life, that won't bring you eternal life. God is the Holy Spirit. And the only life there is in the Holy Spirit. He is the only self-existing one. The fountain of life upon which everything depends, and He depends on nothing. And that Holy Spirit comes and presents itself to you through the blood atonement of Jesus Christ and through the name of Jesus Christ. For there is none other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The man told Paul, said, repent of your sins. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is the only life there is, the only existing life, how can I have eternal life? I must bring my spirit. Paul said, I serve the spirit of holiness with my spirit. God is a spirit. I serve that spirit of holiness with my spirit. I must bring my spirit through His Spirit, through the blood atonement, through the name Jesus. And I must cause my spirit to become interwoven with His Spirit. My spirit must translate into His Spirit. And my spirit and His Spirit must become one spirit. Father, make these one, even as we are one. And those spirits must become one spirit. We are all baptized into one body by one spirit. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean that we all are baptized into a many-membered body, becoming a member by the Spirit of God into the bodily membership, which is called the church, Jesus being the head of it. And the Holy Spirit, my spirit must become one with the Holy Spirit. And I must translate into His Spirit. And then I'm no more me, but I'm Him. Paul said, it's not me that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth within me. And the life I live by the Son of God. I am bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And that evil, wicked me has been crucified at Calvary, and that which is old has been buried and laid away in the water. Hallelujah. And now it is Christ that's living. And with God, the eternal Father looks down from heaven. He sees His dear Son, Jesus Christ. He doesn't see me. That old me is buried and gone. But He sees the Lord Jesus Christ without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. How do you know that God's coming back after a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish? No blemishes, no spots, no wrinkles. God won't have a bride that's got one spot on her. If you're spotted by the worldly system, you're not the bride of Christ. Must be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Somebody said over the pike, whenever that church gets like that, I'd sure love to see it. How do you know the Bible said she's made herself ready? She's made herself ready. How do you know that we're complete in Christ Jesus? She's made herself ready. Hallelujah. Put on your garments, hallelujah. Put on your beautiful garments, Zion. She's made herself ready. Now listen. I counsel of you to buy of me raiment that's been tried in the fire. What kind of raiment is that? The body of the Lord Jesus that went through the burning flames of hell. That's the raiment. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the wedding garment. Don't come in here without His righteousness. They said we fast, we pray, so that's not good enough. Your righteousness has got to exceed that of the Pharisees and scribes.
put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make any provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. My spirit must become one with His spirit. By faith, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind, Paul said. That's one part of it. Be translated in your spirit into the Spirit of God, of the kingdom of God. That's another part of it. Then be transfigured in your body by faith as you're changed from glory to glory into the lovely image of the Almighty God. Oh, I wish we had time to preach to you. You know, a preacher don't really have time to preach. He just has time to exhort you a little bit. Don't you want to be a Christian tonight? I'm talking about being a Christian, folks. I'm talking about being made into a God. You know what a God is? A God is something that can't die. Being made into a God. You know, the Bible said, I'll make him come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. Did you know the world tonight is looking for God to break the skies out yonder? To break the eastern skies? Did you know that? But did you know the Bible said that God will suddenly return within his saints? Did you know that God will suddenly come into his temple to be glorified in his saints? And the world will come and kneel at their feet? Don't you know that God is a spirit, and in the beginning God was the Word, and God is still the Word of Revelation today? And that God is the same to thousands of generations? And that God is suddenly returning in His temple right now to be glorified in His saints, that the world might see them? And how do you know that we're going to conquer death? How do you know that? Oh, it's so beautiful to have the knowledge of how to conquer death. You don't have any fear of death anymore. All of our lives subject to bondage because of the fear of death, but now we're free. Don't have to die. Paul said, I show you a mystery. Not all sleep, but be changed. Don't turn him away tonight. Give Jesus a chance at your life tonight. Oh, folks, you don't know how wonderful it is to be a Christian. You just don't know if you've never experienced this. You don't know how wonderful it is to have the consolation of knowing that you've passed from death into life. I'm not talking about a religion that you can hold on to and someday it'll pay off. I'm talking about passing from death unto life right now in the presence of the living God. I'm talking about an inheritance from God right now. Do you love Him tonight? Do you love Him tonight? Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. Sing it with me. Oh, if your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on make a fast. Oh, just remember in God's Word how He fed the little birds. Just take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. Sing it with me, will you? Let's go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. While we're singing this together, I want you to step out tonight. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you tonight. The Bible tells us to pray that God will grant repentance unto life to them that are without. Did you know that people that are out in the world can't get eternal life until the saints of God pray for them? The Bible said we are pleading with the people, standing in Christ's stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled to Christ in the body of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said, pray that God will grant repentance unto life to them that are without, a royal priesthood interceding for those that are lost. We've got something to do, folks. Let's pray tonight. Let's step out tonight. I want to pray for you. And while we sing this together, I want you to step out and come up here with me. Oh, leave it there. Go and leave it there. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Go and leave them there. You can leave them there. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Oh, if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Did you know the people are not very far from the flames? Did you know that? The flames of hell are kindled under their feet tonight. A sinful and an adulterous generation. I made the statement last night. Don't marry, just live together. Form-fitting dresses, form-fitting pants. Lusting after one another, looking on each other to lust after them. Living with them, and yet they're not man and wife. The Bible said in the days of the sinful, adulterous generation, that God would rain fire and brimstone out of heaven on them. A sinful and an adulterous generation. Fire and brimstone ready to come down out of heaven. While we was over in Israel a year or so ago, we went back down to the site of Sodom and Gomorrah. And there you could see where the fire came down out of heaven and devoured the wicked. Paul said in the latter times that man would leave the natural use of the woman. Man with man working that which is unseemly. An adulterous generation. And because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and to be damned. They'd rather have football in their mind, baseball, basketball. They'd rather be watching a television program. They'd rather be going picnicking. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The Bible said they were eating and they were drinking. They were marrying and they were given in marriage. What does he mean, eating and drinking? An excessiveness of eating and drinking. That it would be an excessiveness of eating and drinking. People have to go to the cafes. People have to go out picnicking. People are roaming across the country, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Said they'd be high-minded. High-minded. Look, shooting at the moon. High-minded. Why has God got them doing that? Look up, he said, for thy redemption draweth nigh. He's turning our minds and eyes toward heaven because something's about to take place. As it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, the excessiveness of marriage. Can't be satisfied with one wife, two wives, three wives, seven wives. And an adulterous generation. Sinful. Adulterous. Things is about to happen. I preached a sermon a year or so ago called The Zeal of Jehu and spoke about the Jews, how that God would stir them up to overthrow the Babylonian system and bring down the great image. And tonight Israel is getting ready for war. God, stir up Jehu. He said, come and see my zeal for God. When Elisha came and anointed him king through one of the prophets or the sons of the prophets, he jumped in his chariot and he went over there and he told those eunuchs, he said, if you're on my side, cast that woman Jezebel down. And Jehu is about to get in his chariot tonight. He's going to bring an end to the Babylonian system of America and all of these other evil things that's going on. What is it? It's the end of all flesh. As it was in the days of Noah, how was it in the days of Noah that all flesh had corrupted their way before God? Will you agree with me tonight that it's as the days of Noah? Will you agree that all flesh has corrupted its way before God? Even the church members tonight. Look at the foolish virgins at this hour, rising up, getting religious, becoming charismatic. What are they doing looking at that? Oh, but it's too late. God has sealed that little bride in. He sealed them people in. Something is taking place. They're running to and fro everywhere in the earth looking for that oil. Used to they'd mock if you talked about the Holy Ghost. But now the Pope of Rome wants to speak in tongues. He said that that looked real good to him when them Pentecostal people were shouting and praising God. Everybody's doing it. I made the statement here a number of years ago. I said, just watch, everybody will go Pentecostal. I said, just watch and see if they don't do it. All of them will try to speak in tongues. All of them will follow after the Holy Ghost. Because at the midnight cry, the foolish virgins rose up and they started looking for that oil, but they couldn't find it. It was too late. It was too late. At the time they got in touch with him, there was a priest of the gospel. Through that tribulation period, the little bride had been sealed in and she was on her way. They came back. He said, it's too late. It's too late. Can you lift your hands up with me tonight? I love you tonight. I appreciate you. Listen, folks. I saw a vision here a few months ago. And in this vision, I saw a little group of people that had made themselves white in the blood of the Lamb. I saw that little group of people pushed off to themselves. And I saw them worshiping God. And I saw something happen in the land. It was just before we had the Great Recession. And I saw people lose their great homes and their great prosperity just as they did in the recession. I saw the law become confused just as they did when they changed the law concerning the speed limit. And I saw this little group of people pushed off by themselves. But this little group of people had God and all of those great millionaires and rich people as they saw their riches going down the drain. And I literally saw people go down the drain. But they looked and saw this little group of people. And that little group of people was God's chosen group and they were ready to meet God. They wasn't rich. They didn't have the wealth of this world. But the world was in admiration of them. And they were looking and the rich men were trying to get rid of their riches. I saw them trying to get rid of their great homes, their great beautiful cars. I saw them turning aside from their prosperity, trying to unite with that little group of people. I saw it in the vision. Folks, something has happened. Something has happened. You've become careless, hard. Harden your heart. The Bible said, harden not your heart, as they did in the days of the provocation in the wilderness, when God destroyed thousands of them. Storms and tornadoes, cyclones and epidemics, plane crashes and train crashes, automobiles crashing up and down the highways, thousands of people dying with diseases in the hospital. Death has taken her toll and Jordan's overrunning her banks. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Are you ready? Are you ready? Jordan's overflowing her banks. Are you ready? Pray always that you might be able to escape the things that's coming on this world. I want you to lift your hands up and I want to pray for you while they play on the organ here. Close your eyes. If you're sick, I want to pray for you. I believe as much as I believe I'm living tonight that God is going to heal people in this meeting. I believe God healed people last night. I believe that we'll get testimonies from this meeting that God literally healed people in their bodies. I'm praying for it every day of my life. I'm praying for you, folks. And I'm asking God to heal you, and I'm asking God to do something for you. I'm asking God to deliver you from demons. There's some of you out there tonight that demons has got control of your mind. And they've got control of your spirit, and you don't have any rest day or night. Demons of lust talk to some of you men and women alike. Day and night, you never get any rest from it. Demons of fear, of insanity. Demons that causes you to feel insecure. To feel like that you don't have anything to rely on. Threats from the powers of darkness that threaten you and tell you that you've got cancer. That tells you there's something wrong with your physical being. Evil spirits. Because the people don't love the truth. The truth will make you free. The Holy Spirit tonight can break the demon powers from off of you. The Bible said they shall cast out devils in my name. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Tonight, God has given that power to the church. Tonight, it's within the church for us to help you tonight and to do something for you. Lift your hands up and close your eyes. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your wonderful blessing. God, I thank you for your spirit tonight. Hallelujah, I felt your mighty Holy Ghost today. Break the yokes off, break the demon powers off, bind the evil spirits tonight. God, I come against every evil spirit that's under this tent tonight. Every power that's got people bound tonight. Satan, I adjure thee by God and the spilt blood of Calvary to take your hands off of these people. You can't hold them any longer because Jesus is resurrected from the dead. There's no power for you to hold them. For he bore the crown of thorns that you'd have to take your evil hand off of them. Father, the Holy Spirit tonight that I feel, let it be among us tonight, God, to break the yokes and to do something for the people. Stretch out your hand tonight, Jesus. Heal these people. Every person that's here tonight, God, that's willing to believe, God, that's willing to trust you, I pray that you would save them tonight. I pray that you would give them salvation. And I pray that you will heal their bodies tonight. Make them strong, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give them a real strength in God. Give them a real healing tonight. Bring your power down in this tent from night to night. Oh, God, let us see the miraculous, God. And let us see healing. Let us see deliverance. Let us see people surrender their hearts to God. I ask you to do it tonight, Jesus. I ask you to heal tonight. I ask you to forgive tonight. Have your way in these services every night that we come together. Bring the delivering powers of God into this tent. I ask you to do it for your glory tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands up and praise God tonight? Can you give him glory tonight? Are you a believer tonight? Do you believe tonight? Do you believe in the delivering power of God? Do you believe in healing tonight? Do you? God wants to do something for you tonight. All you got to do is believe. I feel his presence here. You can take courage tonight. You can take strength tonight. If you've been weak, you can take courage. If you've been faltering, if you feel you can't make it, you can take courage tonight. Be strong in the power of my might, Jesus said. Having done all to stand, Jesus said, stand anyway. Having your loins girt about with the truth, stand. Be strong tonight. Hallelujah. God will make the way for you if you'll be strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, do something for these people tonight. I ask you to heal them tonight. I ask you to do something special for them tonight by your Spirit.